Hey guys, it's Brooklyn here, and welcome back to the Sit Back and Chat podcast. So good morning, good night, good afternoon, good evening, good whatever time it is when you are tuning into this episode. I hope everyone is doing well. I hope things are going great for you mentally, physically, and spiritually. I have a lot to discuss today, and I am so glad that you are here to tune in. I am your host, Brooklyn B, and on this podcast, we discuss many things, including but not limited to advice giving, life experience sharing, storytime telling, self-care helping types of topics. But most importantly, everything on this podcast is 100% certified real talk. I post new episodes every Tuesday, so make sure you are here to tune in when a new episode is released. As always, my social media and the social media of the podcast is linked in the episode's description, as well as petitions for different causes and information on things that are currently going on. Be sure to check out the link under all links relating to the podcast and the host. There, you will find all of my social media, as well as Sit Back and Chat's social media. In addition to that, you will find links to every platform you can listen to the podcast on, and you will also find the Buy the Podcast a Coffee link. Buy Me a Coffee is a platform where you can support content creators and help them continue to put out high-quality content. Podcasting is definitely not free and requires lots of time, energy, planning, monthly fees, and pricey equipment. Through this platform, you can now buy the podcast a coffee. This means you can send a tip or donation or whatever you would like to call it as a way to show your support. The donation is the price of your average cup of coffee, which is $4, but you can donate more if that's what you would like to do. This helps me continue to create, edit, and produce the podcast. Listening to the podcast is an awesome way to support and is greatly appreciated. If you would like, and if you have the ability to, supporting creators by donating to their platform is another great way to support and help keep the show running. Whether you can donate or not, listening, supporting, sharing, and referring are all amazing ways to support Sit Back and Chat, and it never ever goes unnoticed. So with all of that being said, I love and appreciate you all so much, and all the love and support means the absolute world to me. As you can tell by today's title, I will be talking about small town shenanigans. So put in some headphones, grab some snacks, and sit back and chat with me, Brooklyn B. Hello everyone, I hope you are all doing well and feeling good. As you already know, or if you don't already know, March is the month of storytelling on Sit Back and Chat. For all of March, I will be sharing stories from my life with all of you. It's going to be a good time, so make sure you tune in for Storytelling March and you bring all of your friends and family and you join me to hear some stories. Each story will have a takeaway that you can learn from, so you can either be like me or not be like me. But most of the time, it's to not be like me, so learn from my mistakes. But other than all of that, it is time for our life update. Today, when I am recording this, the high in temperature for today is 63 degrees, which is very, very, very warm for how it's been lately, considering how cold it's been. A couple of weeks ago, we were basically in the state of having a blizzard, if you really want to be honest, and now it's 63 degrees, which feels like absolute summer heat at this point. I know 63 is not hot, it's not even that warm, but it feels really good considering how cold and snowy and icy and just, it's been lately. So that is very exciting. You see people running, you see people walking their dogs more often, you see people outside playing, and that's what you love to see. I love seeing the birds and everything and finally getting sun because it's been super cloudy lately. I'm just so happy that the weather is starting to turn. Another thing is that I just started gymnastics again and I'm really excited. I did my gymnastics evaluation the other day and I placed in the highest level class that they even offer at this gym, which is amazing and a huge accomplishment. And I'm so excited to get back on my groove, get back learning my skills and to continue and hopefully be a part of my school's team next year in the hopes of going to state. I finally started my online portion of my lifeguard training, which is a huge accomplishment for me considering the fact that I have been procrastinating so hard lately. I have until like March 19th to finish it, and I've had it since the beginning of February, but I just now started. I would say it's about 10 hours worth of material that I just started, but I'm just so glad I didn't start it like the day before because there's no way it was going to get done. So thank you, Brooklyn, for being a responsible person. Last week, I made an awesome real estate connection, and I'm just so over the moon about this because it's incredible. She is absolutely amazing, and we are going to start working together. I'm going to start shadowing her, basically, and kind of getting my foot in the door and starting off on that path, because if you guys didn't already know, I'm extremely interested in real estate, so having this connection and this mentor is amazing, and it's just what I needed. We are going to go on some showings together this week. I'm going to learn a lot, and it's going to be amazing. And the last part of my update is that it is 16 days until I finally leave for spring break. And let me just tell you, I need a vacation right this second. So I'm very excited for that. I need warm weather, time away from everything that's going on here, and just time to relax, tan, and come back refreshed. So that is all for my life update. Last week we talked about golf cart clashes, and this week we are speaking on small town shenanigans. So without further ado, let's get right into the stories. This week for Small Town Shenanigans, I have 6 different stories for you guys. So are you ready? Because I don't even think I'm ready to tell these stories. They are quite interesting, quite odd, and I would just say overall bizarre. To give you guys some background information and just some simple context, the setting of these stories are going to be split into 2 different small towns that I lived in / grew up in, whatever you want to call it. As some background information, I was born in Chicago but lived in the suburbs, but then over time my family decided to move to rural Illinois in the hopes of settling down and giving my older sister and I a close-knit community to grow up in. So like I said previously, I have 6 different stories, and now I'm going to give you the titles that I named for each story to kind of get you excited for what there is to come. The first story I would call Kids Reenact Slavery. I feel like you can see where that's going. Not good. The second story I would title Kitty Criminals. The third story I would title The Arrival of the Neighborhood Cop. The fourth story I would title I Bounce, Dine and Dash. The fifth story I would title Be There or Be Square. And the final story I would title Social Media Takeover, The Ignorant Stepdad. So as you can see, we have quite the variety, quite the versatility, and quite the stories for you. Let's get right into it, beginning with Kids Reenact Slavery. From kindergarten all the way up until 7th grade, I went to the same school, and it was a private school. I lived in a very small town in rural Illinois, and I will not name the town, obviously, but it was very small, predominantly white, and I remember that there was a point in time where I looked up, you know, the population stats of this town, and the percentage of African American people that lived there was under 3%, and the town itself was 96% Caucasian, so that just tells you how predominantly white it was. Regardless of all of that, I was in 2nd grade and it was Black History Month, so it was February, and we were learning about Black history. We did the basics, you know, reading in textbooks, watching documentaries, all of that type of stuff that you do when you learn Black history. However, something that we did was not the norm and was was very outlandish. My teacher decided that we should do an Underground Railroad type reenactment play. So let me explain what this means. So basically, we were given scripts and we were given roles. The premise of this play was that we were in the Underground Railroad and there were slave masters, there were the slave catchers, there were the slaves that were running away, and there were the people that were running the Underground Railroad. That may seem fine and innocent and all fun and dandy. However, once I tell you what really went on, it was very questionable. I'm sure my teacher had good intentions and she was just trying to educate us by using visuals and things like that. However, the execution was just not done properly. There were only about 2 slaves for this entire play / reenactment, and I was chosen to be a slave, and so was another girl in my class who was also a person of color. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but, you know, the only non-white people in the class were playing the slaves, so that's kind of, you know what, take it or leave it. We were picked to be the slaves while our other classmates had to reenact whipping us, and then we had to reenact trying to leave the plantation and go to the Underground Railroad, and then there were slave catchers trying to find us, and it was a whole ordeal, and it was honestly really uncomfortable looking back on it. When I was in the situation, I didn't really think much of it. I knew that it didn't feel right, but I didn't really say anything because, you know, this is something my teacher's having us do. I trust her. She's an adult. But if you really think about it, I don't see how any of that was necessary, especially considering the fact that the only non-white people were picked to be the slaves when our white classmates were impersonating whipping us. What was going on? Something about that whole situation just doesn't sit right with me because it was unnecessary. I mean, I don't think that we needed to reenact, you know, being whipped to understand what slavery was and what the Underground Railroad was, but that's just me. I don't know, maybe no one else sees a problem with this. I just think it was unnecessary and it was really bizarre and there was no reason, but whatever. Hopefully they don't do stuff like that anymore. Now transitioning into kitty criminals. I was in about first grade when this happened, or in the summer of transitioning into first grade, and in my neighborhood that I lived in, all of the children were super close. We lived in this type of neighborhood where kids would go outside and play all day until, you know, the sun went down. It was that type of ordeal. I was super close with all of the kids in my neighborhood, especially, you know, my closer neighbors. I lived in a cul-de-sac and there was just a bunch of kids and we all hung out doing what kids do. I was especially close with this family that lived across the street from us, like across from the cul-de-sac, and their brother. Because we went to school together, we were in the same class, and we happened to live three houses away from each other, so we were super, super close. He lived in a family where there was a lot of siblings, so sometimes his older sisters would come over to my house as well when him and I would hang out and have playdates. The sisters that came over were older than me. If I was in first grade, I would say that they were about in fourth or fifth grade. They were like that much older than me. Everything about this story might sound normal, like, Brooklyn, what are you trying to get at? This sounds like normal little kid stuff, like you guys were just having play dates. Well, it takes a turn. We had a really big house, and you know how I said his sisters came over occasionally. One time they happened to come over to hang out with us, and you know, we had a swing set, a trampoline, a pool at one point, so there was a lot of stuff going on in my house at all times. My mom would always cook for us, so it was the place to be. One day, like any other day, they came over and, you know, rung the doorbell to come hang out. However, this particular time, there was something odd, there was something not right, and I'm about to tell you what that was. His sisters came to my house wearing my clothes. And remind you, they are like 3 to 4 years older than me. A first grader is way, way smaller than someone who's in fifth grade. Not only with height, but like just everything. Like, it's not even the same. I'm at the door with my mom and we're opening the door to greet them or whatever. And my mom kind of just looks and we both notice, like, wait a second. Because at first I was thinking maybe we just have the same shirt. We just happen to have the same shirt because, you know what? All little girls at this point wore Justice. So it wouldn't be out of the ordinary for us to have the same clothes. But remind you, they are like 4 years older than me. My shirt was so stretched out to the point, like, it wasn't even funny. My shirt on them was basically a bra, like a crop top. Like, that's how tight and like not fitting it was. I didn't say anything to address them. My mom didn't say anything because she just didn't feel comfortable addressing them because they're children. And what do you really say to that? It was just shocking and the whole situation was just really weird. We just wanted to be sure before we accused them of doing something like that. My mom and I and everyone else in the house, we started going through our closets looking for stuff, specifically those two shirts, and we could not find them. Coincidence? I think not. But as we were looking for the stuff that they were wearing that we couldn't find in my closet, we were just looking for other stuff. And we're just like, I wonder where that shirt went. I wonder where this went. Why can't I find this? And it just progressively started to get worse and worse. Eventually, my mom calls their house and the grandma answers the phone. And my mom was just asking if they had stuff in their laundry or somewhere that wasn't theirs because maybe it got mixed up. And the grandma says that she's not surprised that our stuff is at their house because they are known thieves. So the grandma is just going on and on and on how they do this all the time and how she's not surprised and how she was just sick of them doing this and blah, 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 blah. And obviously my mom is taken aback because that is not the response that she was expecting to hear at all. Ultimately, the grandma ends up gathering all of our stuff out of their laundry and closet that she knows does not belong to them, so it must belong to us, and she puts it all in garbage bags and they drop it off at our house. They bring about 2 or 3 like big garbage bags, like the big black ones, full of all of our stuff. Stuff that we didn't even know that was missing, stuff that we didn't even know that they took. They didn't only steal out of my closet, they stole out of my older sister's closet, my mom's closet, they stole shoes from us, like a bunch of stuff that we didn't even know was gone. Some of the shoes that they stole from us were way too small for their feet, but they still tried to wear them anyway. So when they gave us our shoes back, they were just stretched out. And I don't even know how shoes like get stretched out to that point, but when I say they were stretched out, they were garbage. This whole bizarre and just really odd situation didn't really affect my friendship with their brother, but his older sisters just weren't allowed to like openly and freely walk through our house anymore. We had to like watch them at this point. That's what ended up happening with that situation. And not long after that, their brother that I was friends with ended up peeing on our couch. So as you can tell, there was just a lot going on with them at all times. Now transitioning into our next story, which is the arrival of the neighborhood cop. This situation did not happen to me directly, and this story does not pertain to me directly, but it did happen to someone in my family whom I did get their permission to tell the story on the podcast, so don't worry about that. This story happened when I was about 7 years old, and it was in the same town that all of these stories are from so far. It was during the summer, and my older sister decided to go to the movies to catch a new movie with one of her friends. I'm not quite sure if this happened when they got there or when they were trying to leave. I'm pretty sure this happened when they got there, but she ended up hitting someone's car in the parking lot. It wasn't a bad hit, it was more like a bump and there was no damage or anything, but she still hit someone's car. With her being really scared and a new driver, she just ended up panicking and just kind of left. Someone at the movie theater saw all of this go down and they ended up calling the police, which as they should. They described to the police that it was black suspects in a black car, and that's all the information that they gave them. That's it. There was no license plate number, there was no more details about the car, what the suspects look like. Like, that's literally all of the information that they gave them. This is important to the next part of the story. About an hour after the situation happened, a cop that happened to live in our neighborhood ended up showing up at our house. He explained the entire situation that ended up happening at the movie theaters, and then he hits us with this statement. He explains how that the suspects were black in a black car and how we were the only black people that he knew, so it had to be one of us. What? The main premise of the story is not about her hitting the car or anything that happened at the movie theater. It's just what he said and how he said it. That the only reason that he was at our house is because something happened that had black suspects and we were the only black people that he knew. So he kind of just showed up to our house and was just like, well, y'all are the only black people that we know, so what's up? Moving right along to story number 4. This story is called I Bounce, Dine and Dash. So you can just imagine where this story goes. It was very, very, very recent. I went back to my hometown, which I do quite often because I have a lifelong friend that lives there, and I was there to visit her. I ended up getting there kind of late, and if I remember correctly, this happened in about September or October. I got there kind of late in the day. By the time I got there, got settled in, and we were ready to eat, it was around 9 p.m. Remind you, this is a really small town, so there's already not that many options of places to eat, especially considering the fact that most places close pretty early due to COVID. We were on a wild goose hunt looking for somewhere to eat that sounded good. And let me just tell you, there weren't that many options. So we ended up going to IHOP, which was not my choice. I didn't want to go to IHOP because why would I want to go to IHOP for dinner? I mean, I know they sell breakfast all day long, but still, IHOP just like something about it doesn't sit right with me. And that's just somewhere I don't want to eat. But regardless of that, we ended up going there because it's one of our only options, but I already knew I wasn't going to eat. So I just kind of went to see what she wanted. We ultimately end up going to IHOP because it was the only restaurant that was open that wasn't about to close in like the next 10 minutes. We walk into this IHOP and I'm already uncomfortable because, remind you, this is a very small town, pretty much in the middle of nowhere. It's predominantly white and it's a very racist town, but that's a story for another time. Considering all of those factors, I'm already feeling uncomfortable, out of place, and just, you know, out of the ordinary. When we walk in, there's like a entire like high school cross country or track team in there like eating after one of their meets, and that just made the situation even more uncomfortable because they're all in here. Of course, none of them are wearing masks because we are in Yeehaw country, small town USA, so they don't believe in any of that type of stuff. So I was uncomfortable because of that and just because this town is racist and I don't know what's about to go down. We sit down and we're seated by the hostess, and this is like the only time that we even interact with anyone that works at this IHOP. Like, this is the only time that anyone that works there interacts with us in the slightest. We sit down and we're there for literally 30 minutes. 30 minutes, we're not served, we're not given drinks, we're not talked to by anyone that works there or anything. We're just sat down, no drinks. We practically had to beg to even get menus, and that was that. remind you, this cross-country team is in here and they're being rowdy, they're being loud, no type of mask. They're in here like it's a whole party, and I was just disgusted by like everything that was going on, how we were not even being served or talked to, and the fact that people were in there with, you know, just no mask, no nothing, running around, being loud. It was just too much for me. After sitting in this IHOP for honestly almost 45 minutes at this point without being served, no drinks, nothing, like they didn't even give us water. After all of that, or the lack of anything, we decide to leave because why are we sitting here? We're not being served. I'm thirsty. We didn't even get water, which is the bare minimum. So we decide to leave because why are we here? Obviously, we're not here to get food because no one served us or even, you know, tried to accommodate us in the slightest. As we decide to make the decision to leave, the entire cross-country team is standing at the front of the restaurant paying, because it's one of those situations where you don't pay at your table, you have to go to the front and pay at the register. There is like 20 of them, like there's a lot of them, and they're kind of like blocking the entranceway, and it's really hard to get out because there's so many of them in line trying to pay for their food. We decide to leave, so we get up, and as we're trying to walk out of this door, this guy on the team starts like being really loud and obnoxious, and he's just like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, where are you guys going?" It caught my friend and I off guard because we don't know you. Why are you talking to us? And why are you talking to us in this manner with this tone and being loud and causing a scene? Then my friend just says, "We're leaving." And he's just like, "Without paying? So you're just gonna walk out of here and like, you know, causing a scene and starting to get loud. Everyone's staring at us like we're doing something wrong, even though we're not doing anything wrong." So then she says, "We haven't even gotten served. Like we weren't even given drinks. No one served us anything. We were just waiting. So we decided to leave." He just looks at us and is just like, And like kind of just like gets on his tippy toes to look at where we were just sitting, to see the table, to see if that was the truth or not. He was acting like he was the sheriff or something. Like, I don't know what was going on. He like gives us the signal that it's good for us to go, as if, you know, he's security or something. And the whole situation was just so awkward because the entire time we were in there, everyone was staring at us the entire time we were there. So he knew that no one served us. The waiter never came up to us or anything. Like they walked past our table numerous times. They were practically staring at us the entire time that we were there. So there's not a doubt in my mind that he knew that we were not dining and dashing, and he just wanted to be a jerk. That was not only embarrassing, but annoying. And I was already in such a bad mood because I was really hungry. He never got served anything, and I was thirsty. And then he was causing all of this nonsense for no reason. I don't know. That was just so bogus of him, considering, remind you, we were the only Black people in this entire restaurant. It was bad. And for him just to cause a scene over something that he knew that we weren't doing, like, you guys can give him the benefit of the doubt and maybe say that he really was concerned, but I'm telling you, there is no way he did not know that we did not get served. Like, we were sitting directly next to them. How could he not know? How could he not know? There was no food. There's no drinks on the table. There was nothing on the table. Like, I don't get it, but whatever. Moving right along to our fifth story, which is Be There or Be Square. And this story takes place in a different small town that I lived in after I lived in the first small town that all of the rest of the stories are from. In all honesty, I cannot even give you guys a lot of context for this story because I even called people that I went to school with at this time and people that were in this group chat to ask them what even happened, and none of them could tell me anything because none of us remember, which tells me that what initially happened was probably something extremely stupid if I can't even remember it, and I remember everything. But long story short, there was a group chat, and this happened in the summer going into eighth grade. There was a group chat of our friend group or just people in our class where we just sent random stuff in it and things like that. Somehow a disagreement sparked between me and this other girl in this group chat over something stupid. So like, for example, if cheerleading was a sport or not, like literally one of those arguments, like something really, really, really stupid. It was something like that, that honestly should not even have been a disagreement because it was so, so, so pointless. But regardless, it happened. Like I said, I have no idea what this disagreement was about, but I'm telling you guys, it was something so stupid. Like, oh my goodness. But anyways, I will admit, like in the midst of us disagreeing, which remind you guys, I don't even argue with people. Like if anything, I like argue for fun, like, but I'm never like serious. I thought we were just kidding around with each other, but she was being like 100% serious and I thought we were joking around. We were on two complete different pages with this. I will admit, as a honest joke, I told her to square up, which if you don't know what square up means, that basically means to fight. For anyone who's listening to this story and does not understand the context or anything like that, people in my generation or just people in general like say stuff like that as a joke, like square up, LOL. Like I'm not being serious. Like it's just something that you just, you know, just say out of nowhere. It's not you being serious and you actually wanting to fight someone. Like it's mostly said as ironic, as a joke, as being sarcastic. It's not serious. Like we're actually going to fight. Like it was nothing like that in the slightest. Everyone in my class and everyone that I even knew said stuff like that as a joke. I'm trying to stress the fact that it was 100% a joke. I was not being serious, and this was common knowledge amongst everyone at this time. Like, no one would have taken this seriously. I don't know why she took this seriously, but no one else did. No one else would. That's where I'm kind of confused with this situation, but regardless, she took it seriously. She took what I said like 100% seriously and legitimately drove over an hour to my house to quote unquote square up with me. She drove literally over 40 miles an hour away to my house to like prove a point, honestly. And that still surprises me to this day. She drove over an hour to my house and then came to my door like legitimately trying to fight me because she thought I was being 100% serious, even though after I said that in the group chat, she was just like, oh, I'm on my way. And then I was like, are you being for real? Like, it's just a joke. Like, what are you talking about? And she's like, no, I'm on my way. So yeah, that's kind of how that went. She came to my house trying to fight me. My mom answered the door and I was just like, what's going on? Why are you here? Why are you yelling? What is happening? Please leave. And she didn't want to leave. So then my mom asked her numerous times to leave and it kind of just escalated from there. So she ends up leaving and her mom calls the cops on me, which I don't even know how that makes sense because in all honesty, I didn't even do anything. I was joking. I guess you can say that's where I went wrong, but I wasn't actually trying to fight her. I never scheduled a boxing match. Like, I don't know what was going on. Police end up coming to my house, but they didn't even like do anything or say anything really, because what can they say? They called the police on me, which in turn basically called the police on themselves because they trespassed on my property trying to fight me, which they were in the wrong and what they were doing was illegal and I didn't do anything illegal. They basically just came to say like, yeah, the situation is really stupid, so we're just coming because we're supposed to after we get a call, but have a good rest of your day. That was pretty much the end of that. It's just so crazy to me how this was in seventh grade and she really like had her mom drive her over 40 miles to my house to actually fight me when it was a joke. No one was being serious. What we were arguing about wasn't even an argument. Like, I thought the whole situation was a joke. I thought we were just poking fun at each other because we were friends. So that's like, I didn't know that she was taking it seriously. And I didn't know like when we were quote unquote arguing, we were like actually arguing. I thought we were just poking fun at each other, but obviously not. So learn how to read the room. Now it is time for the final story, which is called Social Media Takeover, The Ignorant Stepdad. This story takes place, I'm not even kidding, like 3 weeks ago. I think it's even less than then at this point. Long story short, I was minding my business this day. That's like what really gets me. I was minding my business on my social media, just looking through my Snapchat and seeing what other people were posting. And I happened to click on this girl's post, and it is a video of her stepdad saying incredibly offensive things. While he was wearing a Make America Great Again hat, he was holding a plastic water bottle and he said, and I quote, agua. We need to hydrate so we can prevent all of these illegals that cross the freaking border. That's what he said. Those are the exact words that came out of his mouth. He said it in a different way. I don't really know how to explain his tone. I don't want to play the actual recording because I just don't want to mess around in that type of stuff, but that is what he said. In the video, as he says that, holding the water bottle and wearing the Trump merchandise, she is laughing continuously in the background. And I was just genuinely confused on what was funny because what he was saying was offensive. And even if it wasn't offensive, it just wasn't funny in general. Like, the whole situation just wasn't funny. It was stupid. But I'm not quite sure why she was laughing so hard, especially considering what he was saying was extremely ignorant, but whatever. This is the part where I took it upon myself to screen record the video because I was just genuinely appalled at what he was saying and the fact that she posted it on her main Snapchat story, on her public Snapchat story. Like, that's what really appalled me, because I was just confused as to why. Like, it wasn't funny. It wasn't cute. It wasn't respectful. It wasn't kind. So I was just like, why is this going on? Why did you post this? I screen recorded it and reposted it on my Instagram spam account, which is my private Instagram account that only my friends follow. And I was expressing my disgust with the video in my caption. I captioned the post and I quote, "I was having a good night until I saw this," with the clown emoji. I pretty much said that with the clown emoji because the entire video was pure clownery. Like, what was going on? There was no reason for that. Of course, someone that followed my account sent her my post and she reposted it on her Snapchat, and she said, and I quote, "If you are gonna post my stepdad, at least ask for permission or at me next time," with the laughing emoji and the clown emoji. I see this and I really had no emotion to it because I genuinely didn't care, because I mean, I said what I said and I meant it. I just kind of moved on from that. But then she proceeded to make a second post in which she said, "Please delete it from your spam," with the clown emoji. And she also put my Snapchat username on her public Snapchat for everyone to see, in which multiple accounts started trying to add me on Snapchat because she posted my username and disclosed my information. Now all of these people are trying to add me on Snapchat and trying to follow my Instagram account, basically trying to harass me and yell at me. There's honestly a lot more that goes into the story that I honestly just don't feel like getting into because it's a lot, but I'm just going to condense it very shortly and just give you the main idea. I basically replied to her post where she was talking about me on her main Snapchat and put my information for people to find me. And I just basically really replied and told her I wasn't going to delete the video, but I told her thank you for asking me nicely. And she was upset and was just basically saying that I was disrespectful for posting that video because it was a video of her stepdad. To which I responded with, well, if you didn't want something to be reposted, then why would you post it on the internet on a public account in which anyone can see this? Even if I didn't repost it, anyone could access this video. So I don't really understand what she was trying to get at. And then she basically threatened me and told me that her parents were going to sue me for reposting a video that she posted on her public social media. She told me that her parents were going to sue me for reposting that video, even though that's not even plausible. You can't do that because you posted a video on your public social media. You can't sue me for reposting something that you already posted on a public platform. Long story short, she was just upset that I reposted the video and basically called her out because it was offensive and she was just upset. To add to the story, a bunch of people started to try to follow me and add me on Snapchat and DM me, and I had like a lot of people adding me and trying to follow me and trying to DM me, and it was honestly a lot. Her older sister ended up DMing me and it was basically just like threatening me, and it was just embarrassing. Honestly, I don't even know what was going on. Like, I was so unbothered by the whole situation. It was honestly just funny to me at that point, like that they were trying to threaten me with threats that weren't even plausible, and they were getting so mad even though they did that to themselves. Like, just don't post stuff like that on the internet then, especially if you're saying something literally offensive. Like, how is that my problem? On the internet, whatever you post can be reposted, and you posted it on a public platform for anyone to see. So just take that as a learning lesson. Now let's get into the takeaways from each and every story. For the first story, which was kids reenact slavery, the takeaway is, if something doesn't feel right, then it probably isn't right, because that whole situation at the time didn't feel right, but I just kept going with it. If something feels odd, if something feels bizarre, that's because it probably is. So always listen to your intuition and listen to your gut, because you're probably right. The takeaway from the second story, which is Kitty Criminals, is that do not openly trust everyone right away, because, you know, you have to get to know people first. You have to kind of feel people out. If you give someone so much trust from the get go, then most of the time they'll break it. Also, even the people that you least expect could do you wrong, so just always be careful and always be aware of what's going on around you. The takeaway for the third story, which is the arrival of the neighborhood cop, is if you damage anything of anyone's, stay on the scene, tell them, or leave a note with all of your contact information if you have to leave for some reason. Never hit something or take something or damage something and just leave and hope that you don't get caught, because that's a bad idea. You will get caught, and always just be responsible. If someone were to damage your things, you would want them to stay on the scene and figure out a way to get it fixed at their expense. Also, another takeaway from that story is that not all things should be said out loud. You can be thinking something, you could be imagining something, but sometimes you don't need to say it out loud because it could come off as being offensive or insensitive. The takeaway for the fourth story, which is I bounce, colon, dine and dash, is that honestly, mind your business, especially if you are trying to speak on something that you have no, knowledge on at all. Just don't speak on things that you know nothing about. Don't interrogate strangers. That just makes everyone uncomfortable, especially when you're trying to accuse someone of something that they didn't do. That's so awkward. It makes everyone feel uncomfortable and it just makes you look like a jerk. Obviously, if you see someone doing something legitimately wrong, if you see something, say something. But if you're not quite sure or if there's really no evidence that leads up to, what you think is happening is actually happening, you should honestly probably just leave it alone. And just don't try to put people on the spot for something that you know they didn't do just to cause a scene. Like, that's just horrible. Don't do that. Don't be like that guy in the IHOP. The takeaway from the fifth story, which is be there or be square, is to always read the room. And sometimes when you're joking about something, the other person might think that you're being 100% serious. So make sure over text to really try to set the tone and set the mood and make sure that they're understanding what you're saying and how you're trying to say it. Because over text, it can be really hard to interpret how someone is trying to say something or what they mean. So just be really careful, because something that you think is an innocent joke, someone could be taking 100% serious, and then you'll end up in a situation like mine. Also, never fight anyone, period. Like, just don't fight anyone. I don't fight people. I don't do things like that. I've never been that type of person. That's not my thing. And I just never will. Don't fight people. You're gonna get in trouble. You might go to juvie. You're gonna get expelled or suspended. Don't do that. It's stupid. Nothing is worth physically fighting someone over, especially in high school when usually it's over something incredibly stupid, or even in middle school. Just don't do it. You guys will be fine. You guys will get over it. I promise. Also, the most important thing of all of this is do not show up to someone's house trying to fight them, because you have no idea what could happen to you. You can show up to someone's house trying to fight them, and the next thing you know, their whole family's outside with baseball bats trying to fight you. Be careful. Don't do that. Don't put yourself in stupid situations, and just never do anything like that. Just stop with the violence. Let's stop. And the takeaway for the final story, which is social media takeover, the ignorant stepdad, is do not post offensive things on the internet and expect not to be called out. And just don't post offensive things on the internet in general. Like, you're gonna get called out, people are not going to take it well, and it just makes you look horrible. Something that's also really important is do not post anything that you do not want to get reposted. Yes, you can post something on a private account and someone can repost it, and that's just the reality of social media. Not that that's right or anything, but it can happen. And even if it's on a public account, like it was in this situation, especially if it's on a public account, anyone can repost it. And even if they didn't repost it, anyone can find what you posted. So be careful what you post on social media. If you're posting something on your public, easily accessible, anyone could literally look this up and find the same exact video that I reposted. There's really no reason for you to get mad at someone for reposting something that I could Google immediately. So keep that in mind. Unfortunately, that is all I have for today's episode of Sit Back and Chat. Thank you for joining me here today. And if you made it to the end, I really appreciate you giving my podcast a chance. I hope to see you tuning into my next episode and showing your everlasting support. Remember to be here each and every week for Tune In Tuesday and to tell your friends and family to check out the podcast as well. Make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at sitbackandchat.podcast. Be sure to check out all of the links in the episode's description box down below. Thank you so much for sitting back and chatting with me today. And until next time, this has been Brooklyn B, and have a wonderful rest of your day.